Good evening. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll kind of do a little bit of an old school, at least here, midweek Bible study. I'm going to handle a little bit more verses than normal as of late. I want to take chapter 4, verse 7, and God willing, make our way into chapter 5, maybe verse 11. Don't hold me to it, but let's see if we can do it. Let's pray, and we'll pick up where we left off last week. We left off in a great spot, verse 6. We'll probably rewind to that verse to get a running start, and then we'll dive right in. So, Father, we thank you for this night. God, I'm thankful just to be in the presence of the saints. God, I love to listen to the worship. It does my heart well, Lord. It does my soul well just to be surrounded by Jesus lovers, Christ exalters. Lord, it's so good just to hear praises sung to your name, Lord, to be able to join in on that company and to sing to you, Lord, forget about ourselves, magnify you, worship you. Such medicine to our souls, Lord. So we're grateful, God. Thanks for church. Thanks for the vision that you've given. Thank you, Lord, for the time of singing to you, God. And now thank you for the word that we'll be washed in. I pray, God, that I would be faithful to you, to the text, to rightly exegete, Lord, what's in front of us, that we would all leave here, God, with our portions. Certainly, there are so many things, God, if we're really here to receive, that we can leave with. So just, Lord, all I ever want to do is just be a conduit of your love. And I pray that the truth of your word would flow, Lord, just mixed with your grace. And God, that you draw all men by your spirit to Jesus. So we thank you for this evening. Thanks for the portion, God, that's in front of us. And thank you for seeing us through this first half of the week. God, you've been faithful, and we don't want to fail to give you thanks, so thank you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Let's just back to verse 6 here for a minute so that we can, I want to reference to it throughout our study this evening, so I want you to have it fresh in your heads, your hearts. If you don't have a Bible, please follow on the screen behind me here. We're going to go verse by verse, and again, you know, a lot of stop and go. I don't want you to get lost. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. So it says in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," again, going all the way back to Genesis, that's what he's speaking of there in the beginning. Remember there, God spoke light into existence before light bearers. He called light out of darkness. Don't ever get too familiar with that, that it doesn't astound you. You know, He spoke light into being before there were light bearers. Light be, light was, is the Hebrew. Just phenomenal. Only God can do that. So he's saying, hey, remember God, he said light be, light was. Jesus, creator God, he caused light to shine out of darkness, and he has shined in our hearts in a similar way. He has, it tells us, given the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Just like in creation, he spoke light into being, right? That's our salvation story. He turned on the lights for us spiritually. He made the gospel make sense. That's why we're here tonight. It clicked for us, not because we are so intellectual or we were earning or deserving of it. Like by the grace of God, the Spirit took the gospel, penetrated our hearts, made it make sense, and here we are as believers tonight. We got purpose, we got meaning, we know what Christmas is all about, we know what life is all about, we know our origin, we know our destiny because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it just, the lights went on. We didn't turn them on. He flipped the switch. I'm thankful for it. So is Paul. So he says, but here, now we transition in verse 7. Let's read the verse in its entirety, and then let's kind of break it up a bit here. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power, notice here, may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure. What treasure is he speaking about? He's speaking about the treasure that's spoken of in verse 6 when he says that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ has been put within us. That's the treasure. And the emphasis here, what he's saying is, the glory is of that treasure, not of the vessel. The glory is of the treasure that's within the vessel. What's the vessel? Crack pots at best. That's us. There's no glory in the vessel. The glory is in the treasure in the vessel. The glory is in Jesus who abides within us by his Spirit. Amen? We are at best cracked pots. We're a wreck. There's nothing on display tonight or ever, no matter who's standing in front of you or who you see when you look into the mirror, that is of any boast or worth. The excellency here, Paul is saying, is what is in this crackpot, what is in your crackpot, that treasure that Christ has put within us, that the excellency of the power might be of God. It's all him, that resurrection power that he put within us. Well, we'll come back to this a bit, but he wants to make it clear. There's nothing spectacular about the vessel, the crackpot. So that's why he starts going on this rant here in verse 8. He goes like this. It is in us. I mean, the greatest capacity of man is to contain the glory of God in face of Jesus Christ. Because we, as the crackpot man, this is what we are. We're troubled on every side. Watch this. Let's just read 8 and 9. And then he goes like this. These crackpots, these vessels that have this wonderful treasure within, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I haven't figured that out yet. When I'm troubled on every side, I don't know what distress means, but I'm stressed. I'm not preaching this text like, oh, guys, yeah, me and Paul, we get troubled on every side and we're wonderful. No, I'm still in progress here, so I'm not fully with Paul on that. I can't read that and be like, oh, yeah, amen. No, I'm troubled on every side. I'm stressed. Not Paul, though. He says, no, you see, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. And we're persecuted, verse 9, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, he says. You know, the idea here is we're squeezed, but we're not squished. He says we're squeezed, man. We're troubled on every side. We feel that pressure. We feel that pressing down like grapes, right? Like we feel it, man. We feel the weight upon us, but by the grace of God, we're not completely squished. We're not squashed. He says, man, you know, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. It just helps us this evening because not everybody's in the same place. And some of us feel so weighed down. But the idea here, when he says this at the end of verse 8, we're not in despair. What he's saying is that we're not without help or resources. So if you're in this tonight and you say, man, everything around me, I feel like the weight of the world, I feel like I'm being squished. Just take some notes then. Let this speak to you because it's realistic. Nobody's minimizing or saying, oh, life is so wonderful and easy all the time. No, he's being realistic. He says, no, for sure, we are squeezed, we're just not squashed, and we are perplexed, but we're not without help or resources. We got Bible study, we got the saints, we got worship, we got the Spirit, we got the hope of heaven, we've got perspective, amen? So we're not completely squashed, we're not completely down and out. We feel it, there's no nonsense coming from this pulpit, we feel it. And it's everywhere, man. It's all around us. It's in front of us. It's behind us on either side of us. Nobody's making light of any of that. But it's not as though the Lord has left us orphans. We're not all alone here. Okay, he says we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Here's what he's really saying in verse 9. We're knocked down, but we're not knocked out. That's good, isn't it? Because you do, and I don't know how new you are to the faith or where you're at, and if you thought like you were just going to run with your chest puffed all the way to heaven, but the reality is, and every veteran in the room can testify, you're going to get knocked on your butt. You're going to get knocked on your face. There's going to be just seasons in life where you don't even feel like you can get back up again. That's why there are scriptures like the righteous man falls seven times. Seven is not, seven's the number of completion. You're a complete failure. That's the edification for you at this midweek Bible study. Sunday was suicide. This evening is me telling you you're a complete failure. Merry Christmas again. But the reality is that Christ in us, that's the excellency of the power. That's the glory. That's the treasure. It's not the crack pot. We're a mess. You're a mess. Just keep breathing and you'll see. We're a mess. Like, there's just constant things in our lives that fluster us and overwhelm us. They squeeze us. We don't get squashed, but we do get knocked down, but we don't get knocked out because Jesus is faithful to us. And so he gives us that ability to put one foot in front of the other. And remember what is so often said, it's a walk of long obedience in the same direction. So let's just be patient with one another, be patient with ourselves, and onward, upward, Christian soldier. Amen. I got bit by this text. So I feel jolly, even though I'm preaching things like we're squeezed but not squashed. I feel happy. I feel just encouraged in all of this, because what I don't want to do is just come up here and offer fluff and stuff. I'm just thankful that the word is at least honest. We are sometimes, we are distressed. We are on every side, man. We are persecuted. We are mocked. I'm often, like he says, we're perplexed. I'm often perplexed. Life perplexes me. I'm an observer. One of the guys was just saying that in the room before we came out. I just sort of sit in observation often of my surrounding, and I am seriously perplexed. I'm perplexed. I'm perplexed by this next generation. I'm perplexed by the kids I see walking in my kids' school. I'm perplexed by the state of the church. I'm perplexed by our government aiding foreign countries to build walls of protection but not wanting to do it in our homeland. I'm perplexed by this globalist movement that we're surrounded by. I'm perplexed at how fast we are decaying as a nation. I'm perplexed at like how we think we're good without God. I'm perplexed by trials. I'm perplexed by so many things. But I'm not in despair. I'm really not. I'm not in despair. Because he hasn't left me and he hasn't left you without help and resources. I'm perplexed when I watch the news, the local news, the national news. I'm perplexed, but I don't shut it off and go to bed like, well, geez, you know. No, there's like balance to all of it because of Jesus and his supply. So, you know, there's this encouragement underneath all of this confession. We're knocked down, but we're not knocked out. And I got to speak that over some of you this evening. Holy Spirit already spoke it over me today. I received it in Jesus' name. You're knocked down, but you're not knocked out. Reason being, because he who started the work in you is faithful to complete it to the day of redemption. He's not going to let failure have its final say over any of his kids. So it's all right if you're knocked down tonight, if you're banged up, if you're bruised, if your face is in the dirt. Jesus is faithful, and this evening he's going to lift you back up. So 1,000 hallelujahs. Amen. So we go, that was weak, by the way. Now I feel not, I'm knocked down again because your clap stunk. So that's a little bit better. He goes on to say here in verse 10, he says, I'm always bearing about in this process as I'm a crack pot. There's no excellency to boast of in me. The excellency is in the treasure that's within me. I understand that. The greatest capacity of man is to contain this glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have the honor and privilege, which is even greater than Moses' Shekinah glory on Mount Sinai. He says, but in this process, we are always burying, he says, about verse 10, in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. That's the idea there of verse 7. That's that treasure. That's the excellency of the power that's of God that's in us. That's what he's speaking of here. He says, so here's our lives. Here's our situation. We're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord. Hey, listen, unless you die, how else do you experience resurrection power? If you're living and healthy and well, you don't need resurrection power. It's the dying man. It's the dying woman that needs resurrection power, that gets stoked about resurrection power. So remember, that's what Paul said. I see, when I received Christ, Paul said, it was no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm crucified with Christ. My life is done away with. So in my dying, I'm experiencing the excellency of his resurrection power. He calls dead things back to life. That's what he does. And so for some of you this evening that find yourself in 8 and 9, squeezed but not squashed, knocked down but not knocked out, but you're knocked down nonetheless, the encouragement to you tonight is that it's not till you die completely anyways that you experience this resurrection power. So you're in a place there of in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. It's where the supernatural kicks in. It's like you got a hybrid vehicle and you ran out of gasoline and the electric kicks in. There's a power from on high as you're starting to gas in your own life, in your own strength. There's a power from on high that's going to enable you. It's going to kick in. You won't experience that power till you're in the place of gassing in your own natural strength. But then when you start gassing in your own natural strength, Jesus shows up. And there's this resurrection power that you experience. That the believer that has everything going so wonderful that if you're not careful, you look at and get jealous of, they don't know anything about. But you know about the resurrection power because you're in a place of death. It's pretty spectacular what's being said here. He goes, we're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. For we, verse 11, which live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh, in this play pot, this cracked pot, this vessel. That's the goal here. So then he says this in verse 12, death works in us, but life in you. That's my ministry, Paul says. I constantly die. Like I die to self. I die to my will, to my ambitions, to everything that I can go after for me so that you can have life. That's what I'm all about. I want to give life. I want to impart life. Life to those who are lost, and then further life to those who come to Christ. I want to keep implanting life, just putting life into those who God surrounds me. That's my heart's desire, he says. Death works in us, but it don't matter, because if death is working in us and Christ is being exalted and his resurrection power is being manifest in my life, then life is being spread to you. Jesus others you, joy. You're lacking joy tonight. Jesus others you. That's where it's at is what he's saying, man. This is my joy. This is my reason. This is why I get out of bed. I'm dying daily, and I'm good with it because it brings life to you. I'm also not there yet. But he says this so wonderfully and honestly here. So we, verse 13, he's continuing his thought here. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, and he quotes the psalmist, Psalm 116, verse 10, he says, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. That's solid. We have a belief system here as Christians, and it does us well to speak what we believe. It does us well to sing what we believe. It's good to reinforce it. It's good to have it spoken over us. It strengthens us. It encourages us. That's what he's saying here. He says, just like the psalmist says in Psalm 116, verse 10, he says, what I believed, I spoke. And we also believe, and so therefore we speak it. And sometimes that's what we come to church for, is just to hear things we already know and already profess to believe have spoken over us just to encourage us. Just to encourage, like you know here tonight that we aren't fully knocked out when we're knocked down, but sometimes just hearing another voice say that over you is what you needed. Sometimes you can't sing, so you know what? Don't sing. Close your eyes, lift your hands, exalt Christ, and listen to the body sing. Let them sing, which is similar to saying, what we all believe. Songs full of truth, it does our souls well, it encourages us. Okay, this is what we got to do. I'm not saying like positive confession. I'm not saying like name it and claim. I'm saying what do we believe? Well, how do we know what we believe? The Bible, eternal truth, God's word. So we take God's word and we speak God's word and it lifts our spirits. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. We need to come together, sing the truth of God's word, speak the truth of God's word. It's my honor and privilege to herald God's word, to simply unleash, to exegete God's word. That's all we're doing. And it's going to bless you. It's going to encourage you if your spirit is right before Jesus. We're speaking, he says, what we believe. We're unleashing what we believe. And then he moves into here in verse 14, a series of things that we know. Because he's perplexed, so he already confessed that. I don't know so much. I'm bothered by so much. I'm squeezed by so much. There's nothing glorious in this crack pot. The glory is in the treasure within. But here's the thing. Even though we don't know a lot, we do know quite a bit. And he starts to state things that we know. And this is good. This will encourage you. Some of you came in tonight, and maybe you were like, man, I just feel like I don't know anything anymore. Okay, well, let's talk about what we do know. This will encourage us. He goes like this in verse 14. We know